I thought that things were just too bad to keep going, but amen, thank God that he reached down his hand, takes hold of that nail-scarred hand of his, and he can see us through any circumstance, any situation. I am so thankful to have that relationship with God this morning. Good to have you with us this morning. We certainly appreciate you being here. It's good to feel the presence of Almighty God. Yes, sir. Sure. Yes. Yes, amen. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. So that was Judd. You were able to meet up with Judd? Amen. Thank God. We prayed that he would be all right. Brother Jim has not been able to reach him or contact him, but thank God he was able. You're so very right. This man was once tremendous in the workout room, very young, and but he knows and realizes, amen, that even though that body may disintegrate, that body may not be what it once was, the Spirit of the Lord is still able to sustain us. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. God bless you. Thank you for standing. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of Acts this morning in the 12th chapter. To the book of Acts. I want to read verses 1 through 11 this morning, if you'll bear with me. Acts chapter number 12, beginning with verse number 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarterions of soldiers to keep him intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out, followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened unto them of his own accord. And they went out and passed through, on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Can we bow our head? Dear gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for this opportunity and the desire that you've given us to come into your house to worship this morning. Thank you for all those who are gathered here today. And Father, I pray that you would anoint these lips of clay. God is just a vessel that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts this morning. God, let it go forth, God, as you intend it to do. Father, I pray that it would prick our hearts. I pray that we would be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. And Father, I pray if there's anyone here today who stands in need of prayer, Father, we know that you are able to do all things. And we give you that praise, honor, and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise, if you would, this morning. Amen. Well, I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God when it puts into sequence how that God delivers us from all expectation. If I had a message title this morning, it would be When Prayer Changes the Expected Outcome.
when prayer changes the expected outcome. Can I just get a show of hands that ever had anybody ever had prayer change something in your heart or in your mind or a situation? My. Almost 100% this morning to know that God is very busy, amen, and able to do what we cannot do. I love this story because it gives praise unto God. And it calls for an impossible situation to be made possible. Amen. The things the Bible tells us that are impossible with man are made possible by God. Aren't you glad that we serve a God who doesn't know the impossibility but can change that impossibility into a guaranteed situation? I want us to understand that when things look bad, come on, we've been there. When the outcome seems bleak, and when facing impossible odds, prayer changes things. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. I want to go into this particular situation, and let's get into the mindset just a little bit of how the enemy works. Let me tell you something about the enemy. We all know who the enemy is. By the way, the enemy is not your brother and sister, okay? The enemy is the adversary, Satan, that evil one. And he comes and he tries to sow discord and he tries to put confusion and discouragement in your heart and your mind. And if you're not careful, you'll put your minds more on the things that you're facing rather than the one, amen, that can help us face any situation. So we find here, and I like this, it says, now about that time. About that time. You know, isn't it amazing that when Satan seems to come around, it's not in a good opportunity for us? He may hit us when we're kind of discouraged. He may hit us sometimes when things are not going well. He may hit us sometimes when we're tired and frustrated and we've had an awful day at work or at the office, or we're driving on our way home and people are cutting us off left and right. And let me tell you, Satan knows when you are at your weakest point. And that's when he comes to bombard you with all these situations and problems. And here we find that the writer says now about that time. What he's talking about, this was a time of the persecution of Christians. And this was a time when Christianity was just getting its early start. It was still in a very adolescent state, if you would. We know that the conversion of Saul and to Paul had taken place. We know that the stoning of Stephen had already happened. And we know that the Jewish elect, those that were in power and those that were in the know, did not like this upstart of Christianity because it began to, according to them, it began to tear down their mode of worship and what they had stood for so long in the Mosaic law. How many of us know that Jesus did not come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law? Amen. If you're thankful for that, put your hands together this morning for what Jesus did for us. Amen. Through the cross of crucifixion and the death, the burial. Amen. And the resurrection of our Lord. But it wasn't readily accepted by the Jewish elect at that particular time. Now, the atmosphere, we need to understand, was very hectic and very vile at this particular time, because the Bible tells us that they had took James, the brother of John. How many of you know that when they came and followed Jesus, that James and John's was the sons of Zebedee, or the sons of thunder, but now they had taken James and killed him with a sword. And this is the alarming thing about it, because it pleased the people. I just want to throw this in, and it's not going to cost you anything extra. If you're trying to please the people, amen, you're on a road of no return, amen. You're never going to be able to please the people. I just wish, I'm not going to try to get political, but I just wish our government would quit trying to please the people and just do the right thing. Is that all right? Amen. I just thought I'd throw that out there. But Herod was not that way. He wanted his popularity. He wanted no uprising. So he sought to do those things that would please the people. And he saw that by killing James, one of the disciples of Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen, it pleased the people. Then he also took Peter. Amen. And we know about Peter, don't we? We know where he came from. He was just an ordinary fisherman until the Spirit of the Lord got a hold of him. And let me tell you something. If you think you're just nothing, if you think you can't offer anything to the Lord, you're very, very wrong, because the Lord doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. Amen? So whatever walk of life you're in, don't ever say, I can't do anything for the Lord, or I can't live for the Lord, because you're exactly what God is looking for. You're exactly who Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He took an ordinary fisherman, and he brought him under his wing, and he prepared him to go forth and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's what Peter was doing. So now Herod, because he saw that it pleased the people, isn't it terrible that the killing of a soul, the killing of a man, would actually please the people? But you got to understand the mindset of our adversary. You got to understand how strong his devices are, how easily he likes to sway people, how much of a deceiver he is. Never, ever, under any circumstances, try to compromise with Satan. Do not ever try to be his friend. No matter how lucrative, no matter how appeasing, no matter how alluring he may bring sin and try to entice you with it, he is out for your very soul. And you need to be aware of that. So here we find that Herod had pleased the people, so he took Peter. And this is the thing, you know, so many times we don't understand the timing of God. Amen? We want it immediately. Come on. I know how we are. When we pray, we want it done just like that. Amen. Come on. Sometimes we want it done yesterday. Amen. Sometimes we can't wait. We ain't got 15 minutes to wait. We got to have it now. You know, and that's when we wait to pray. Have you ever thought about that? If we wait till we need something, we wait till we get into trouble, we wait till we have obstacles in our life, then we pray. Wouldn't it be a lot better antidote if we prayed ahead of time? Wouldn't it be all right if we just prepared our life each morning for first thing we got up? We begin to pray unto God. God, you know what I'm going to face today. You know the situations in my life. I'm just going to give them to you. I'm going to ask you to lead me and guide me and help me in every facet of my life. And I'm not going to wait till trouble comes. I'm not going to wait till sickness knocks on my door. I'm just going to go ahead and get victory now. Amen. See, a lot of people don't pray until they need something. Man, but this was not the case here. Bible says the church began to pray. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. Things happen when the church begins to pray. Glory to God. Amen. I said when the church begins to bind together, when the church begins to lay aside its little idiosyncrasies, its little differences of opinion, its little schisms and isms and divisions, and it joins together and begins to pray, things are going to happen. Amen. Souls are going to be saved. Lives are going to be changed. Situations are going to become possible when the church bands together and begins to pray. We already know things are bad. It doesn't help to talk about bad things. It doesn't help to say, man, this world's going to terrible situation. But what does help is we say, you know what? I'm going to start praying about it. I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to call somebody. I'm going to say, let's get in one mind and one accord. And let's begin to pray, because prayer changes things. Amen. Prayer changes the expected outcome. Not the expected outcome for the Lord. He knows the expected outcome. But come on, can you agree with me? Sometimes we just don't think things are ever going to work out. We just don't think that can be done. God, I know you're able to do all things, but you're running into something now I just don't think you can fix. But not the case of the church. Let me tell you something. You can have church and not have to be in this building. Now, don't get me wrong. I ain't trying to run nobody off. We need everybody who can come into church. But if this was the only, and I've said this so many times, if this was the only place that I could get in touch with God, I wouldn't leave. Come on. Because I need Him too much. I can't even walk without Him holding my hand. I've been down that road, and that road, amen, is a terrible road. But since Jesus came into my life, I am totally and absolutely dependent on Him, amen. I don't make decisions. I don't go anywhere. I don't do anything unless I first ask the will of the Lord. But thank God this building is not the only place that I can feel Him. Amen. I can feel Him, amen, wherever I may go. Whatever direction life takes me is because His Spirit is mobile. It's with me everywhere that I go. Amen. So they were a little group of people. And I want to tell you something. There was 120 in the upper room, but it was not the specific number. There could have been 12 in the upper room. Come on. Amen. I like it when 120 is in one mind and in one court. But can I tell you something? Sometimes it's hard to get 120 folks in one mind and one accord. I hope I ain't stepping on no toes, but sometimes in a congregation, right in the middle of service, we already planning what we're going to have for lunch. Or what time the race is going to be on. Oh, me. Or what time the ball game is going to start. Or I hope Eddie don't preach too long today because the line at McDonald's is getting longer as he preaches. But if you get 12 in one mind and one accord, get ready because there's going to come an abundance of spiritual rain. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to take it a little further. Bible says if two. I love it when 120 gets in one mind and one accord, but it doesn't necessarily take 120. That necessarily take 12 or 20. But if you give me two people that can be in one mind and one accord, amen, the Lord said, I will be in their midst. That means where two is, the third one shows up. And when the third one shows up, fires can be quenched. Mouths of the lions can be closed. The powers of heaven can open up. And God begins to rain down His Spirit. Amen. It doesn't take a big crowd. It just takes a singleness of one crowd. Glory to God. This little band of Christians, they gathered together in this house, and they would not take the impossibility as a final statement. They looked at it and said, it can be done. If you give me two people who agree that it can be done, I'll show you revival. I'll show you the anointing of God. This little church began to pray. Amen. And when people pray in singleness of heart and the Spirit of God is within them, things are going to happen. Glory to God. Suddenly, the unexpected becomes the expected. Hallelujah. Suddenly, the impossibility becomes a possibility. You, in fact, are a testimony. You raised your hand just a little while ago when you said, I've seen God in action. I've seen Him move in situations. I've seen Him take a brother with 16 years of addiction, amen, crumble down at the anointing power of God and say, I know that I need a change in my life. I've been there. Amen. It was the Spirit of God that convicted me, brought me to an altar of repentance. Now, I want you to understand that sometimes when we pray, we're not giving it our all. We're praying sometimes as a sense of obligation or as a duty or because someone requested that we pray. But not so with this little band that was in this house. Bible says, doesn't go into any great detail, but you try it sometimes. Praying without ceasing. Praying without quitting. Praying without doubting. Praying without getting up and saying, I got to go get something to eat. Praying when you clear and purge your mind of everything else around you. You forget about your problems. You forget about your troubles. You forget about your debts. You forget about your obligations. And you say, this is me and you, God. This is just our time. I'm praying for a mighty move of God. I'm praying that you will reach over there in the midst of impossibilities and unlock the door. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to beat Peter up too much here, but maybe his faith was really greater than I thought. But can I just ask you, out of the kindness of my heart, when you ask the church to pray for a situation in your life, please don't go to sleep while the church is praying. Hello? Come on. I need you to be in one mind and one accord too. I need you to expect that what you ask for, God is able to do. And if the church is concerned enough to pray for it, we should be as well. I'm not going to beat Peter up too much. Maybe his faith was, you know what, I'm just going to go to sleep. God's going to take care of it. And that's good too, because you got to have faith. But whatever the reason, Peter was asleep. Here's the situation. Okay, let's just look at the situation. Sometimes we pass this thing off as, man, this is, you know, just another miracle of God. Yeah, but I like to look and analyze the miracles of God because they are great. They are wonderful. They are immaculate. I'm telling you what, no wonder when God does something, we need to broadcast it. We need to testify. Never get tired of testifying how God delivered you or how God healed you or how God opened the door for you, because it is amazing to sit back and see the power of Almighty God. Here's the situation. Peter was kept in prison. The Bible says four quarturions of soldiers, 16 soldiers, four quarturions means 1, 2, 3, 4 of four soldiers. They wanted to make sure Peter didn't get away, because they'd already been through this with Jesus. Come on, they posted guards at Jesus' tomb and he still came out. And here's the world. They can't believe it. His disciples found some way to become invisible and move the stone away and bring him out. They could not. And the world today is like that. The world will try to discount your miracle. They'll try to call it circumstance, coincidence, luck. Glory to God. Can I tell you, it wasn't luck that split the Red Sea. It wasn't a coincidence. Amen. Some of these scientists say, oh, it was a ridge. You know, there's a wind blowing and it just kind of uncovered that ridge that a million plus people walked across. And let me tell you something about that ridge. That same ridge, when that little bit of water came over, it absolutely destroyed the whole Egyptian army. Their horses, their chariots, and every one of the soldiers. No, you come by too late to tell me it was luck or coincidence. It's the mighty power of God. The situation, he was kept in prison. 16 soldiers assigned to guard him. Bound with chains. Soldiers on either side. Guards at the prison door. Also, two more sets of guards outside the prison door and between the main gate that led out into the city. If you ever needed to get out of jail free card, it was then. Amen. How many knows? Now, I want to bring this situation in a spiritual light if I can. Maybe we're not sitting in an actual physical prison with the bars and the soldiers around us. But I venture to say that many times in our walk with God, we have felt like we were. We felt like we were in prison, not by bars of iron, but by doubt and fear and sickness and all of these other things that accompany a child of God. You know what? Somebody once told me, you know, thank God, you know, when I get the Holy Ghost, all my troubles will be over. I said, where in the world did you read that? That's just when Satan begins to come at you at his hardest. But I got news for you, and I certainly got news for him. Greater is he that is within me than he that is against me. He can only huff and puff, but I got the shield of faith. I got the helmet of salvation. My feet are shod with the gospel of Christ. I'm going to be victorious through Christ. Amen. Regardless of the circumstance. Then finally, the iron gate leading to the city. Be hard enough if he was just kept in prison. Come on. Kind of hard to believe. And here's not all of that. He was facing death. Not real sure if Peter knew that. But I kind of think that he was. I think he was aware of it. Because that was the expectation of Herod. He didn't just incarcerate him just to make an example of him. He intended, fully intended, to take Peter out and kill him in the same manner that he did James. Because he pleased the people. You got to understand, rebellion was rampant in that day. The least little thing could set off an angry mob. So he wanted to be a people pleaser. Can I tell you to beware in your job, in your family, in your environment, for those who you share time with. Be careful not to come or become a people pleaser. It's all right. You need to have a good attitude. You need to have a good spirit. You need to have love in your heart. But never come to the point of you think that you've got to lay down your salvation in order to please the people, or lay down your conviction in order to fit in with the people. Amen. I thank God that we are a peculiar people. A lot of people may, that's weird. No, it doesn't. That means chosen. God has chosen. We are the very elect. We are loved by the Lord. Amen. But He has set us apart. Amen. Because we're not supposed to be as the world. You can be in the world, but you don't have to be a part of the world. Man, you must stand firm. And I believe that Peter probably realized that maybe as soon as the feast was over, as soon as the time of resurrection had passed, the Easter and all had passed, that he would be taken out and killed. And I would imagine he prayed. Wouldn't you? Come on, wouldn't you? If you were in prison, you were facing death, I believe you'd pray. Come on. I'm pretty sure he prayed. But something caused him to be able to go to sleep between two soldiers chained. Oh, and something was getting ready to happen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not real sure that down the street and maybe a couple of turns off of the main drag, that the little band of people who were praying all night while Peter was sleeping, I'm sure they were praying with expectation. But I'm not real sure, according to the way this story ends, they knew the exact time that things began to change. Glory to God. Come on. You know why that's important? Because sometimes when we're praying for things, we don't have the ability to see it going on. I told you the other night that during one of our services years and years ago, we got a phone call from a disturbed mother in Louisiana facing the possibility of her child dying. She said, please tell the church to pray. We couldn't look to Louisiana. We couldn't see what was going on. But we began to pray here. Amen. And we don't know the exact time, but we got a testimony the next day that God came on the scene. Amen. He turned that situation around. That baby not only lived, but that baby is alive and well today and has children of her own. Amen. You come by too late to tell me that prayer don't work. I'm a recipient of prayer. I'm here today because somebody prayed for me. Amen. Prayer changes things. Amen. And changes the expected outcome. So the church was praying. Praise God. I said, praise God. Wake up, Peter. Hallelujah. I'm not sure exactly what you thought was going to happen, but I'm here to tell you that the expected outcome has changed. You're going to be set free. Well, I thought somebody would shout about that. Sometimes when we expect this burden to linger, sometimes when we expect this affliction or this sickness to have no end, somebody has been praying for you and the outcome is about to change. You're about to be delivered. You're about to be healed. You're about to have something positive take place in your life. Why? Because God honors prayer. God will answer prayer. Prayer changes things. Glory to God. Get up, Peter. Put your shoes on. Gird up your loins. Get your cloak. Now, why did the angel tell him to do all that? Because the temperature was about to change. Glory to God. Amen, brother. You're going to need that coat. You're going to need that shoe because you're not going to be in this cell much longer. We're going out. And you know, here's the wonderful thing. Peter doesn't say, well, what's going on? He just obeys. When God speaks to us, we don't have to know what He's doing. Just obey Him. Get up, Peter. Put your shoes on. Get your coat. We're about to go somewhere. We're about to get victory, church. Come on, church. Get your shoes on. Put your coat on. Get ready. We're about to be delivered. We're about to see victory. We're about to see a move of God. Hallelujah. Get ready. The time of sleeping is over. It's time to wake up spiritually. Praise God. When prayer changes the expected outcome. Amen. The angel said, gird thyself. Bind on thy sandals. And so he did. Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him. Wist not that he was true. Didn't understand it. What was done by the angel. But thought he saw a vision. This particular time, he thought he was just dreaming a dream. He didn't know that it was reality. When they were past the first and second ward, go. You know, sometimes I read things in the Bible that makes a 66-year-old man just want to run. Glory to God. But because I'm fixing to be 67, I'm not going to do it. But I want to. You see, when I read the Bible, I like to sort of get a mental picture. Two sleeping soldiers. A light comes on in the cell. It wasn't LED. Well, it might have been an LED because he was led by the angel, wasn't he? Get up, Peter. So Peter gets up. It didn't disturb the two soldiers. I sleep with one. And if I turn over, she's awake. Especially if I get out of the bed. Where are you going? What are you doing? So a miracle within itself. Peter gets up, chained between two soldiers. He stands up, the chains fall off, and the soldiers keep on snoring. And then he walks out, and the prison door opens. Peter thinking it's a vision. He's dreaming. His eyes wide awake now. Then he walks past the first set of soldiers, and it's like they can't see him. I don't know what they were doing, but I don't believe they were asleep because their lives was in jeopardy if anything happened to the prisoner. And you know how we are sometimes? We walk by and we expect that soldier to see us. We expect the bad, don't we? One time I was in a short occupational change during a time of starvation, and I was trying to sell insurance. And it's one to go to different houses. And I walked out, you know, I don't know what it, I don't know if you could call it a phobia. I don't call it a phobia. I'm scared of dogs. Unless they're mine. Okay. So I walk, and there's a dog laying on the step between me and my destination. So I'm saying to the boss, come on up. Come on up, insurance man. Does a dog bite? No, Tiny don't bite. So I proceed to step over Tiny. He latches onto the back of my calf. But Tiny don't bite. Well, tell Tiny to let go. He bit me. Just what I expected. So now if a dog, I don't step over him, I step around him. And I'm thinking Peter's going, while the angel's leading, he's going, well, let me sneak around. Then he gets by. You know, we get braver and more bold when God answers a prayer for us. It's that first one that gets us. I'm not sure if God can do this. But then he does it, and then we get a little bolder. So I think he walks right past the second going. You ever done that to Satan? Amen. And they don't see him. Glory to God. Then he walks out, and you know what? That victory's been won right after another. Amen. God woke him up. An angel come out and said, come on, let's go. Let's get out of this belly prison. Come on, wait. Amen. Right out the open door, right past the two wards of soldiers. And then he gets out there and look, and lo and behold, there's a big old iron gate that just so happened to open on its own will. Why? Because even the seas obey God. Everything that He has ever created obeys Him. Listen, because prayer was made, think about this. He never had to touch the locked gate. Sometimes all we're staring at is the locked gate. Lord, I know You saved me. Lord, I know You brought me out of that. Lord, I know You're going to make a way. But there's a gate. There's a gate right there. But let me tell you something. When you step out on faith, don't worry about the gate. The gate will swing wide open. And you can march to victory. Put your hands together for Jesus. Glory to God. He's still a gate opener. Praise God. Hallelujah. When prayer changes the expected outcome, God delivered Peter from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. It's not the only time. Very quickly, as I try to bring this to a close, God changed the unexpected outcomes for the children of Israel as He delivered them out of Egyptian bondage, some 400 years of Egyptian bondage. He delivered the walls of Jericho. And He told Joshua ahead of time, said, see, I've given you this city. And what did Joshua see when he looked? He saw the city of Jericho walled. But God saw it, amen, as the walls falling down. God sees, amen, what is the unexpected. Amen. He does what is unbelievable to many, many of us. David defeating Goliath. Amen. Even Saul thought that David would meet his doom. Even his brothers knew that this was an impossibility. But you know what? David said, I'm not going to come to you with a spear and a sword. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. And God gave him victory that day. Amen. Unexpected outcomes. Totally and absolutely unharmed in a fire. Brother Vic and I was talking about that this morning before Sunday school. That was heated up 7 times hotter than it normally was. And it slew the guards that threw the 3 Hebrew children into the fire. They were expected to become instant French fries. But the Word of God tells me the only thing that was burned was the ropes that had them bound. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And for Daniel, he absolutely closed the mouths of the lions. That in itself is a totally different message that I will spare you and not enter into at this particular time. Maybe down the road, I don't know. Amen. But many, many times we're surrounded by hungry lions. Sometimes they don't look like lions, but they're lions. Come on, sometimes we don't recognize them, but they're lions. But I'm here to say that God can close the very mouths of the lions that would eat you up, that would totally destroy it. Amen, you. But because prayer was made. Folks, prayer changes things. If you don't get anything else out of this message that I brought to you this morning, never ever discount the power of prayer. Prayer absolutely unlocks doors. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. You know, we say this all the time. This altar is never closed. We don't have to open this altar. This altar is always open. It happened, man, when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, because He tells us in His Word that that veil or that petition that kept ordinary people out of the holiest of holies was rent or torn from the top to the bottom, signifying that we have open access to the holiest of holies. This altar is only a dedicated place. There's no saving power in this wooden structure, but actually that denotes the fact that we can come openly and boldly before the presence of God. If you have a need this morning, please come forward. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Without a song, without anything, if anyone has a need, please come forward and let us pray with you. God bless these that are coming. Some of you elders, if you would, gather around. Let's pray for these needs this morning as we prepare to close.